Welcome to the Cables to Clouds podcast. Cloud adoption is on the rise, and many network infrastructure professionals are being asked to adopt a hybrid approach. As individuals who have already started this journey, we would like to empower those professionals with the tools and the knowledge to bridge the gap. Hello, and welcome back to another fortnightly or biweekly or semi-annually or, you know, whatever we're calling it these days, Cables to Clouds news episode. My name is Chris Miles. I'll be your brief host for today. And then I'm joined by my colleagues as always.
That's correct.
As always, Tim McConaughey and Alex Perkins. Without further ado, let's get into the news. It was pretty light news last couple of weeks. Nothing too major, but we were able to pull out a few nuggets here that we felt were definitely worth covering. So first one is up from TechCrunch. We have an article here talking about how the recent cloud security startup Wiz, which is now valued at apparently $10 billion, raises another series of funding at $300 million for Series D funding. I will say, I mean, the new round of funding didn't surprise me. The evaluation at $10 billion, I did not see that coming necessarily, but I will say that I think this aligns well with the research that's coming in right now about all these, the rise in cyber attacks and everything like that. I remember I was listening also to a recent episode of the Chaos Lever podcast with Ned Bellavance and Chris Hayner. And they were talking about AI kind of changing the realm of what cyber attacks are going to look like. And I think this, I don't know if this is coming off the heels of that, but I could very much see, cybersecurity, being that continued growth market just because of how that's going to evolve over the next, 5-10 years. I'll stop there. How do you guys feel about this?
Yeah, $10 billion is a lot of money. for a startup, that's unicorn status, right? Like they already hit unicorn status. Yeah. It's crazy. I think this article mentions that they already have 40% of the Fortune 100 as customers. So that kind of makes sense, I guess, if you look at it from that perspective. Like you said, Chris, this space is going to blow up, and especially with as hackers or, I don't know,
hackers
adversarial.
Hackers be hacking.
State actors.
Exactly.
And all
as they start adding AI to their tool set, this is going to ramp up more and more. So not surprising, but very large numbers.
Yeah. I mean, $10 billion, like I said, unicorn. I mean, unicorn
as a startup.
No IPO, right? Valued $10 billion. You kind of actually wonder, right? So they just went through Series D funding, got $300 million. With a $10 billion valuation.
IPO's coming.
Yeah, kind of wonder, why'd you bother going through Series D?
Said this series brings their total funding to about $1 billion. It's been quite a ride.
I mean, and with that amount of with not only the amount but the caliber of customers they've got, unless they're severely undervaluing their product, why would you need the funding? I would wonder, right? So maybe they're just taking it so that that their competition can't, and that's still a thing out there, especially now that zero interest rates are gone, right? That money's probably quite hard to come by. So yeah, I'm really interested to see when that IPO is coming, or if they get acquired ahead of time. I mean, with a $10 billion valuation, that pretty much puts it out of the realm of anyway. But some of the bigger players, maybe Cisco will buy it or something. Really interested to see how this goes.
Yeah, and I would say that that adoption they have of the Fortune 100 that probably leans to the ease that it appears there is with their deployment model, as far as it being agentless, and it's very easy to integrate into your environment and give you.
It's SaaS, isn't it?
Right.
They say it's SaaS, right?
Yeah, they're calling it SaaS. and you know, provide you this full graph. I guess the graph is the main thing that they lean on. You know, that's the moneymaker. That's what they're showing to the C-level, or the C-suite. And, yeah, it seems like it covers, you know, storage, networking, compute, everything. So, yeah, it's not really surprising. But on the tail of that, so with that evaluation, we have an article from SDX Central also that, shows the recent COO of Zscaler. I'm not going to be able to say his name. President, Dali Rock, has recently left Zscaler and gone over to Wiz. So
can't imagine why.
Yeah, no idea. Definitely not following the money. But yeah, so that's, I just figured we'd lump those two together because it one kind of orchestrates to the other, right?
It's also, he took the COO role at Wiz.
Right.
So it's like, it's the same exact thing, right? He just like lateral move. And obviously with that valuation, yeah, I think that's definitely some incentive there.
Yeah. Although I wonder, so I mean, this is my fault. I don't keep as up on every cybersecurity company or other, you know, companies out there. You wonder, you know, he was CEO at Zscaler. Yeah. So I have two questions, right? One is who's backfilling his role at Zscaler? And is there, you know, and second, like what, you know, why, obviously I wouldn't say why Wiz, because it's pretty obvious. We just covered why he would go over to Wiz. But, does that, you know, you kind of wonder, okay, well, was Zscaler not taking care of him, or was this, you know, a lot of these C-suites, come in like do contract positions, you know, like you're in for 2 years or something like that. You know, maybe there was a timing, thing involved with that as well. Who knows?
Well, that's the tricky part, right? I mean, we don't know a lot of this. It's all speculation, but Zscaler also has like a very large chunk of the market as well. Because I think one of these articles, I don't remember which one, but one of these articles that are linked says, while Wiz has like 40% of the Fortune 100, I think Zscaler has 40% of the Fortune 500. So it's like they both have a huge, huge market share. So who knows what's going on behind the scenes there?
Yeah, interesting. All right. So Tim, you want to go to the next one?
Yeah. I hesitate to even call this news, but... So we'll go ahead and cover it anyway. So there's a press release that Zscaler just put out. And this is one of the things where like, you just want to like, I don't know, shoot yourself with all the marketing buzzwords, but all right, we'll go ahead and try to unpack this. So Zscaler introduces industry's first zero trust SASE built on zero trust AI. Yes. You guys heard me right. There is now a thing called zero trust AI. What does that mean? Fuck if I know, but there is now a thing called zero trust AI. See, I thought zero trust was a framework, but it turns out this is it's actually something that in enables AI. So
yeah, this is probably akin to when, you know, products started coming out being called DevOps, things like that. And it's like, I don't think these totally align to one another, but you know, whatever, make your money, dude. This one was weird because that's the thing. Once you probably break this down and they explain the technology piece of it, it probably will be something cool, on how they're doing this on the back end. This particular press release just kind of said so much without saying anything at all. Like I have no idea how this changes anything with regard to Zscaler or SD-WAN or SASE or anything.
Yeah. Real quick, let me just add and then I want to see what Alex thinks too, but let me just add the little snippet, if you will, from, because you think like, okay, cool. Well, that's the headline. They're going to explain some part of what zero trust AI is. No, they basically just say, let me see if I can find that specific. Yeah. So the Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Again, this is a press release, right? This is not me saying they're the leader in cloud security. This is Zscaler saying they're the leader in cloud security. Announced Zscaler Zero Trust SASE, an industry first single vendor SASE solution built using Zscaler Zero Trust AI to help organizations reduce costs, complexity, while implementing Zero Trust security, blah, blah, blah. So like there's no actual like they don't elaborate on how the Zero Trust AI works or how it helps or basically what it is. They just say it's awesome and we have the only one. So this is a press release. So take it for what it's worth. This is very common, as you'll see from some of the other press releases that we'll cover.
All right. Yes. So, Chris, I'm glad you at least kind of opened the window a little bit, because I'm not going to defend this, but I did do a little bit more digging past this article. And I think the problem is just the way that they worded this, because saying built on Zero Trust AI, that means nothing. Like, I don't know who came up with that, but that doesn't make any sense. To me, the article, what it's saying is their platform has AI built into it. And they're just lumping Zero Trust and their platform and AI together into some weird marketing term called Zero Trust AI for no reason. What the link basically says is that they have combined everything. So it's like a secure SD-WAN, a secure data center, secure like branch connectivity, like all their products. Now they can combine everything into their own platform. And then there's AI that runs on the platform. So I don't think, they didn't do a good job of explaining it in the article, and the title definitely is not helping them out. Because like you said, it is, if you dive into it, it is actually, it does seem pretty interesting. This isn't it. This article.
I mean, okay. So I just joined the technical marketing team at Aviatrix. So I see stuff like this and I'm just like, this is a 100 pure, not technical marketing, but just straight marketing play. This is buzzword bingo. This is buzzword bingo stuff here. And I can't let Zscaler off the hook for it. I agree with both Chris and Alex that the actual technology is very much a, you know, hey, we took all of our stuff, we rolled it together, we added AI on top of it to give us insights to machine learning, all that good stuff. Kind of like, I'm sure it's something similar to like Cisco DNA Assurance or whatever, where we're leveraging insights. But the way it's worded is just, it's just unforgivable. I need somebody at Zscaler to apologize to the industry for coming up with the term Zero Trust AI, please.
I would love to see someone try to read this article aloud without stumbling, because it is just, your tongue is getting some work on this thing, boy. It's there's so many tongue twisters. It's nuts. But yeah, like you said, it's word salad, but at the end of the day, the technology seems like it could be promising. It questions my faith in marketing, what little faith I already had in marketing to begin with. But like, you know, it makes me wonder who reads this and like, yeah, this works. This convinces me to do something.
We got to buy this right now. All right. That's enough.
Yeah. Well enough.
Let's move on to the next one. Alex, I think you got this one.
Yep. So this is a press release from Arista, a company we actually don't talk about too much, right? They have always kind of not really been into the cloud game much, at least from my perspective. But they announced their cloud EOS on Equinix Metal. And really, you got to dig into this one a little bit too, but it's really cool. Tim, I don't know if you had something to say about this, but the way they do like their SD-WAN now, it kind of like intelligently meshes between all these cloud EOS instances. I don't know. To me, maybe this is like the first step into Arista kind of expanding out from their traditional markets, which I think has been more like, you know, they're trying to win like the enterprise and data center from Cisco, right? And this is like a step in a direction towards cloud.
Today I learned that Arista has an SD-WAN.
That makes two of us.
I don't know what to say about it. Like, okay, so the cloud EOS router, basically, I mean, this is so to be clear, this is not a press release, but I guess, I don't know if Equinix would consider this a press release or whatever. It's more like a product solution announcement. Brief. Or like, like a product announcement. Like this is now available on Equinix. So this cloud EOS router is just like a, you know, like a Catalyst 8KV from Cisco or I forget what the virtual one is now. Flew out of my head from Juniper.
No, you're right.
But I can't remember the virtual one from Juniper, but it's just they've taken the tech stack, they've virtualized it, and now it's a router that's virtual, right? So that makes perfect sense on a platform like Equinix Metal, which is where most of those types of deployments go, which, you know, is a little bit different than Equinix Fabric. I mean, there's not much to the actual announcement. Again, the idea that there's an SD-WAN was I was scratching my head. I got to go look this up now. But what do you think, Chris?
No, I'm pretty much on par with you. You know, it's like, it seems pretty par for the course. Seems like this is pretty similar to things that are already there. Maybe Arista is just playing some catch up. The integration with Equinix, I guess, does make it a little bit easier to leverage their footprint. But it still seems like I hate comparing it to Cisco directly because that's all you pretty much do when you talk about Arista, I feel like, because, yeah, just, you know, legal battles and things aside. But it just seems like it's, you know, it's right there. They're competing with that, that market now, where they've been competing with their data center market for years now. So yeah, we'll see where it goes. Don't see expanding too far into the cloud beyond this, but you know, we'll see what happens.
I will say, like, obviously the benefit of Arista is that EOS is the same operating system no matter what you're using it on. So it's a little weird to me that this is an announcement, because I think cloud EOS has existed for years. And
oh, really?
Same with, like, there's like a CEOS, there's like a VEOS. It's all the same operating system. Is this just like,
it's just VM? That Equinix now supports it on their,
right, exactly,
bare metal offering. That's so, what it is. It's now on bare metal. Right. Yeah.
So, I like how you say the benefit of the major advantage of Arista is that the EOS is the same on every device. I think this is that's the major benefit of Arista.
Yeah, yeah. I think most people aren't thinking, man, I need 10 different kinds of device, and I wish I had 10 different kinds of device that had the same software. Most people are thinking, man, I need something that's about 10 times cheaper than Cisco.
Well, I'm just, because of that, I have to say this, because I hear this all the time. Because of that, because it's one operating system, they actually have the least amount of vulnerabilities compared to anyone in the industry. Like, it's, there's like a CVE graph, and theirs is like a dot compared to like a giant stack versus everyone else. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm poking fun here, but I've actually heard a lot of good things about their software. Like, their software has always been very solid. And when we had Pete on, like, we were talking about the idea of, that was, he was very invested in like the Cumulus type model, where you've got like your software runs the same on any of the hardware you put it on.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, right. So that's valuable, actually.
Yeah. There's, like I said, it's unfortunate that they've been put in this bucket. I mean, the legal battle, kind of played into that, but, that's where it's been. And it's hard to not talk about one without talking about the other, but, their product seems solid. Their stands are very vocal whenever you want to talk about Arista. So yeah, makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Let's move on to the last one. So Arcus, this is another post directly, from Arcus. So the title is Arcus Revolutionizes Multi-Cloud Networking with Egress Cost Control, or ECC, as we're going to call it going forward, with potential to reduce up to 40% in cloud connectivity cost. Really, this is, to me, this reads as they have some way, it doesn't go into a lot of detail, but they have some way of figuring out egress costs in your routing from your cloud networks. And they can use that and build some kind of intelligence into it so that you can get the cheapest route, the cheapest egress route. So I don't know. It's an interesting post. What do you guys think about this one?
Another one where it's like, it sounds cool, but like, how are you doing it? No meat on the bone whatsoever here. Like, it makes sense. Obviously, like, even in their documentation or their solutions page, talking about egress costs equating up to, 15% of your monthly cloud bill. That's spot on.
Totally legit.
That's totally true. And if you're going to, talk about cutting those down, potentially 40%, I would just like to see some detail on how that's done. There's kind of this idea that's put in, at least some of their diagrams that I see, that like, we're going to pick the right, egress provider, whether it be, another cloud or maybe another region or something. I don't know exactly how they're doing this calculation on the back end. Someone in my mind, I'm like, you're still paying all these other egress costs along the way to get it to that other egress point. I don't know where you're really saving 40%. So that's what I would like to see.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Is it? The other thing is, are the egress, so I know that obviously per cloud, per region, at so on and so forth, that the egress charges are not flat across the board, right? We all know that. But as far as I know, there's not like this huge amount of variability where we need to run this calculation and figure this all out with any kind of regularity, right?
I mean, I guess it depends
on your flow. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it does depend on the problem is though, like, how do you justify that, right? Because if they're, I don't know, it's almost like more complexity is better for them in this, but you don't want that anyway. So it's like, how does this?
God, can you imagine troubleshooting this? Could you imagine troubleshooting this if there's a problem?
You can only troubleshoot it a month later when you get the bill.
Well, and also like the path, like how do you?
That's what I mean.
What if it's not the path you want? Like, what if like the more least cost path isn't the optimal path, right? Like, it's
higher latency. Do you really want this? Who knows, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
It's the problem is that the just like all press releases, and this is a press release, if we make it clear, right? Because this is on Arcus's website. You know, they're announcing this capability, and again, it's pure fluff, right? There's like Chris said, there's absolutely no meat on the bone here. There's just words about, like, buzzwords about how they can save money, but there's not a diagram. There's nothing that can explain how they can actually accomplish any of this. I even went looking for videos on their website. And of course, the videos are all very, you know, showing data centers full of blinking lights and talking about egress costs and how they can save them. And it really didn't help. So yeah, I mean, hey, if somebody from Arcus is listening, feel free. Like, we would love to understand this. Please.
Love to see how it works.
Same with any of these.
Yeah, any of them, really. Anything we've talked about, we'd love to see it in action.
I was trying to think if there's been any previous examples of like this direct integration with like technology and like cost. Like, I'm trying to think if there's been, because like, this is the first thing of like, I want to be like, oh, well, you get to write your own press release and you get to say you're revolutionizing something. But this is the first, like, I'm thinking about it. I was like, I actually can't think of another product off the top of my head that has directly said that we're making, you know,
routing
computational
charges
or routing decisions based on cost alone.
Yeah, there are tools, right, that can give the customer like this information. But yeah, I don't think there's anyone that's used that information and then productized it, if that's a word.
I mean, it's got to be so. It's probably doable, but like the thing is that what would make such a thing actually valuable goes so far beyond just saying, oh, well, this is the cheapest way to get out. I mean, we were just talking about it, right? Like, you have to be able to weigh that against other priorities, right? If all you want is a button that says go the cheapest way, okay, cool. Maybe that's like not hard to do, right? But what if it fails SLA? What if it, you know, like, what if it's too much latency or whatever? Like, that's a whole other.
And I think the difficulty with this is like, if you're looking for the opportunity to save money on certain types of flows, the only thing that's going to take the least cost path is the traffic that no one cares about, right?
The only
thing that's really going to use the low cost path is the thing that people aren't looking at and they're not complaining about. So if the majority of your traffic is not that, are you going to be able to really benefit from this at all? I'm not saying it's a bad idea. It's just like, it seems so, like, the scales are so
very niche, very strange.
Right.
Very complicated. Can't see doing it simple. I don't see how, if they're saying they can do it. They didn't say simple. I didn't see the word simple in here anywhere. So that's to their credit. I don't see simple in here anywhere, but how easy and simple it is to do. But yeah, I mean, if it's not simple, then you have to ask yourself, like, what am I, like, is the complexity worth the juice, worth the squeeze on it? Right.
Right. Yep. 100%. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for today. Like I said, pretty light news week. This is releasing on the 14th of February. So last but not least, we want to wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day. Spend some time with your loved one. Hopefully, if you don't celebrate, do some cool shit, you know, do some other cool shit. Love yourself, you know, take care of yourself.
You gotta love yourself first.
Exactly. Love yourself first. Exactly. So with that, we'll wrap it up. Thanks for tuning in to the most recent episode of our Fortnite review show, which we like to call it now. Just kidding. Fortnightly Cables Cloud News episode. So with that, we'll leave you and we'll see you next time. Cheers.
See you.
Hi, everyone. It's Chris. And this has been the Cables to Clouds podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. If you enjoyed our show, please subscribe to us in your favorite podcatcher as well as subscribe and turn on notifications for our YouTube channel to be notified of all our new episodes. Follow us on socials at Cables to Clouds. You can also visit our website for all of the show notes at cablestoclouds.com. Thanks again for listening, and see you next time.